Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. This is Christmas in December with no Gina. Get over it, nerds. This is Knowing It's Half the Podcast, and I'm angry. And I am Ray Stakanis.
I am Robert Clark Chan.
Oh, yeah, this is when Gina would normally say something. But we have a special guest.
Oh, our special guest has let us down already.
Not Gina for this episode. You may remember his work from his own G.I. Joe podcast. We got What's on Joe Mind.
The only G.I. Joe podcast we do not have a blood feud against.
Yeah, there's only one that we don't have deep-seated anger and resentment towards, even though I'm angry. So this I'm just setting it off the wrong way.
No, there's some anger, but just no deep-seated resentment.
What can I do to help either stoke the fires into something meaningful or to put out the flame so that everybody's copacetic?
Well, you're here now. That's a start.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Those other yahoos who we never invited never showed up.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Mike Irizarry. Mike, thank you for being with us on such short notice.
Hey, it's no problem. And I understand that I was just the next one alphabetically after Gina in your Rolodex. So I get it. And I'm ready for that purpose.
It's funny you say that.
I mean, she's IP. I'm IR.
No, that's
just right there.
That's
weirdly, there are a lot of Iquos in between you.
Oh, and yeah, Dan Iquos has been on the show a couple of times.
Aquariums is someone that we've had on.
Yeah, Jenny Aquariums, big stand up in Norway. She's been on.
Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. I don't know any Norwegian stand up comics, so I'm gonna have to give that one to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can't look it up. You can't prove us.
Yeah, I wish you had Norway Facebook, but you don't, so you can't look it up.
I don't. That's correct.
Facebook, Facebook,
Borkbook. Yeah, it's big. It's big over there.
Yeah, Facebook.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a visual text joke, like those little Swedish O's with the slashes through them.
Call those umlauts, Chan.
I could not pronounce it.
No, those aren't umlauts. Those
no, umlauts are the top. Two dots, and that's I'm trying to throw those on top of the O's.
Yeah. So also, Sweden is not Norway, so there's also that. But we're not here to.
Isn't it though?
I think you're greatly overestimating the intelligence, geographical intelligence of your listeners.
I could not possibly underestimate our listeners because they are. Brilliant, lovely human beings. Most of them, except for
Mike, tell the people at home where they might know you from or find you after the show, because so few people listen to post credits.
A bailout on you too, huh?
Or mid credits, or
honestly, any point after now. In fact, we might not have even, we might have lost them already.
I bet
so. Go ahead for whoever's left.
We're 3.5 minutes in, so you better go quick.
Right. I am the host and producer of What's on Joe Mind. We have been in the G.I. Joe podcasting game since 2011. We are your favorite G.I. Joe podcast, favorite G.I. Joe podcast. We actually talk about G.I. Joe most of the time.
What's that about?
I know, right? There's some weeks where that's a real stretch, but a lot of weeks it works out for us.
That's why we're not mad at you, because that's not really our bag.
We do G.I. Joe, yes. We've talked about, quite honestly, a lot of G.I. Joe.
But at a
certain point, you got to stretch it out.
Right. Even we have our episodes where we talk about maybe G.I. Joe adjacent things. But that's the toy world right now, and that there's always something for some dork to put on his shelf. But anyways, since 2011, What's on Joe Mind has been coming your way. Currently, we are more of a live stream podcast. We are every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on the YouTubes. So please head over that way and subscribe to us there. We also simulcast on Facebook if you're a young boomer and you want to catch on to that up and coming book face. We're there too.
Young boomers. I believe they call them humors.
Is that it? I don't
know. No, they call them groomers.
Oh, okay. My mistake. I get those confused so often.
Yeah, I'm just going to hold off on my joke there because that might get us pulled.
I mean, what do you care? It's not your show.
Look, man, if I'm going to ruin things, I'm going to wait till the end.
All right, you know what? Fair enough. Today we are, Astro Boy. We're watching Astro Boy. We watched Astro Boy. God willing, we're not watching it right now. We have watched Astro Boy with a holiday Christmas episode called The Light Ray Robot from 1982. And I'm just going to say it out loud to start this show. I enjoyed Astro Boy more than 99% of non-G.I. Joe cartoons that we watch on this show.
I mean, look, you are factoring in what we just watched.
Yes, I am. And that the audience doesn't even know about that.
No. There's a
nor will they for a while.
That will see the light of day eventually. And it is something.
There's only one word I would use to describe what we watched for a future bank episode.
War crimes?
Bogus.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess
that's the word I would use. That being said, Astro Boy, what a refreshing light to watch a well animated show that goes to different places that I thought it was going to, for sure. We'll get into that.
Seconded. Right.
Anime show from 1982, right in our wheelhouse. And I generally like Astro Boy. I've liked the ones I've seen before. And maybe it's because, man, we have really been scraping. Like, Tattertown didn't get me. That thing, other thing, Secret Project we just watched. Boy, was that rough. You know, all the Thanksgiving stuff, the Trucker Galactic Thanksgiving.
You know, those people, Nelvana, did a Christmas special, and we would have done it this year, except that Gina had some other ideas, and so, like, we put those...
No. And I'm glad we're not, because I don't know that my heart could have taken it. This is delightful. Astro Boy, look, it's weird. It's definitely weird. We got things to discuss, but I wasn't... Not a single point did I do the check to see how much is left test. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Not a single point.
No.
I didn't either, and I was really expecting to. It moved along. It kept a pretty good pace. It was
sure did.
It felt like a quick watch.
It did. Mike, what is your experience with Astro Boy before this point?
Honestly, very little. If you had shown me a picture of Astro Boy, I would know, hey, that's Astro Boy. But outside of that, maybe 5 minutes 40 years ago. It's literally that little. I have next to no experience with Astro Boy.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, I find it wild because he's like Mickey Mouse meets Bob's Big Boy.
Right. He was the face of the Japanese animation movement in the 80s. Like you really couldn't escape him. So that's why I think he's got such great recognition. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people in the same boat as me that just by the time you got to knowing where you could find other Japanese animation, like Astro Boy was gone. It was so far down the list that you didn't even bother.
True.
It was very much a new experience for me.
Yeah. Astro Boy is really like the first mainstream anime. I would say even before Robotech, but like Robotech came not too long afterwards. And you're right. The thing about Astro Boy and the thing that I learned through watching this episode is Astro Boy doesn't hit those lists of people for their anime because Astro Boy, the character, doesn't have a lot of edge to him. You watch anime, you expect a lot of edge. Now, the program itself has massive amounts of edge to it, but
yes.
The character is very has soft edges across the board.
It feels like a show for young children. Obviously today young children aren't going to be interested because there's 10 million other things that are shinier, more exciting, whatever. But for the time, I think, you know, if you were right in that wheelhouse,
right.
It's some real good stuff.
I wouldn't be mad at the kids of today, man. Bluey slaps.
Yeah.
That's Bluey is an S-tier cartoon, you know.
Right.
You know, we're not. You know, it's not, and I'm not like Chan. I'm not over here showing my kid the Saw franchise, you know.
I mean, look, he's got to learn about death traps at some point. So start him early.
Have we talked about the Amazing Digital Circus on this show yet?
None of these things, I would like to say, are introduced by me. They get introduced to him at school, and
sure,
and things go south from there.
But you encourage it by allowing it, right?
I mean, choices been made.
Chan just doesn't shy away from the answers when the tough questions are asked.
For the people at home, if you don't know the Amazing Digital Circus, it is wonderful. It is an absolutely avant-garde. It's I Have No Mouth That I Must Scream, but digitally animated from like Australia, if I remember correctly, and a bunch of very interesting dynamic characters, and it's wonderful. It is not something I would encourage my small child to watch hundreds and hundreds of times.
It looks like something that a young child should watch hundreds and hundreds of times.
But thematically,
this is like your dad showing you heavy metal. Like, well, it's a cartoon, so how bad could it be? Oh.
Okay, well, here's the deal. And no, okay, and famously, I'm sure I mentioned it on the show a million times, my dad rented me heavy metal, his choice, when I was 13 years old on the way home from church, where we would stop by the Blockbuster video.
Time to do it.
And he says, to be fair, my dad rented me some awesome stuff. He rented me Monty Python and the Holy Grail. He's of all my friend group, I was the one that got introduced to it first, to Monty Python. Ooh. He said, you're old enough, you should know about this. And he was right.
I don't want you to find out about this on the streets, son.
That's right. Responsible parenting. Right. But also,
your dad was correct, but he also hung the title of King Dork on you. You understand that, right?
My dad was the King Dork before I was. I inherited the role. To be fair,
these things are hereditary generally, yes.
Yeah, right, he was a first generation Dungeons and Dragons player in the Midwest when it came out in Wisconsin. He was right there in Western Michigan giving it a go.
Okay.
So, like, no, my dad's got the bona fides. I'm going to say that right now. For better or for worse, many reasons why I'm the way I am. So, but he rented me heavy metal, which if you don't know heavy metal, I doubt it. You probably do. You listen to this show.
Or at least you understand what it is.
You know what it is. And he rented it to me, and I watched it at 13 with my mouth hanging open. Like, I mean, oh my God.
That is the correct time for it. Yes. To be fair. Because as air quotes adult as it is really pretty juvenile, pretty puerile, and it's best consumed at that age when
you're
just a snot-nosed punk that just,
I would argue like late high school, early college, because a lot of the other references went way over my head, which I think are hilarious now. But my dad, I remember I came down after watching it. He's like, "What'd you think?" And I'm just like, "That was, it's a pretty wild movie." And he's like, "Oh yeah, you mean like the skeletons in like the World War One like airplane segment?" I'm like, "No, that was cool. That's not what I'm talking about." He's like, "Oh, is there like some stuff in there?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
And he's clearly, like, clearly fishing for the right answer here.
Well, he says to me, he says, "Well, I only ever watched the made for TV version. Ever saw the edited for television version, but I figured you'd be into it." I'm like, "Was that version 17 minutes long? How do you even make heavy metal made for TV? Was it like the length of a Bluey? I don't understand." And I just look at him like, "Man, well, I enjoyed it.
Called I enjoyed Tana it in the bathtub."
So this is why I'm so broken.
Yeah. I mean, here you go. I watched it when I was 8. Jesus, somewhere around there.
Christ. I was going to ask you next, has your kid watched heavy metal
yet? I mean, here's the thing.
Weekly.
Are we waiting till next year?
It was a bad choice. It was not good on my part. As I've probably mentioned in the past, my MO when I was visiting my grandmother who had the movie channel.
Oh boy.
Be to like look through the TV guide, the local TV guide, the one that came in the Sunday paper every day. Looked for the N code for nudity and the late night movies, and if one came up, I would go set my alarm for like, 1:40 in the morning.
Oh Jesus.
Wake up, sneak out and try and catch some boobies on the TV.
When you were 8?
Well, pretty young. Yeah.
Chan had questions. Okay.
and cable TV had the answers.
Cable TV had answers.
Unfortunately, when you do something like that, I wasn't bright enough to check for other codes. Like, I don't know what heavy metal would qualify as, but I feel like some sort of gratuitous scary violence. Because what happened is I saw those zombies, the aforementioned World War II zombies, freak me the fuck out. I could not get to sleep for many, many days, terrified of these zombie creatures. So that's my story.
Mike, how old were you when you saw heavy metal for the first time?
I was in my late 20s somewhere.
Oh,
good
boy.
God, man.
Yeah. Boy. It was one of those things. I just missed the boat.
Why even bother at that point?
Right.
At that point, just watch Heavy Metal 2000.
No, come on. Yeah,
maybe not that.
I'd rather watch Blues Brothers 2000. That's how bad that one was.
Oh, God. The thing is, I know exactly what you're saying when you are saying that. And you might still be right.
I'm absolutely right.
Wow. But anyway, we're not here to talk about animated cartoons. We're here to talk about Astro Boy, an animated cartoon. Wait a minute.
Wait.
Oh, are we going to do Amazing Digital Circus for this show? Shouldn't we?
Jesus. No. Tell you what. I'll bring my kid over here. He always wants to podcast with me. So
yeah, next time he gets up, let's just
do it.
Let's just turn into a de facto Amazing Digital Circus podcast.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, it's on YouTube, Mike. You can check it out anytime you want to.
It's on Netflix now.
It's on Netflix now, too. I think they even put out a new third episode.
There's a fourth episode coming tomorrow.
I haven't seen 3 or 4, so that's great. Okay.
I'll catch up.
It doesn't need any more than that.
With my 7-year-old.
Anyway, you should check it out, Mike. It's good. And you people at home. It's honestly very good. Thank you. Astro Boy. First off, theme song. What do we think of the theme song to Astro Boy?
When we're talking about theme songs, often we're looking for bangers.
We are.
We're looking for the ones that slap, the ones that make us get up and drop it like it's hot. Is that a thing that the kids are saying these days? This song is not that.
No,
it is not that. It is a song for young children. And in that context, it's pretty good. Pretty good-ish. So there's that.
Yeah.
It feels about 20 years older than it is.
And it's not young.
Right. But it feels like that should be the beginning to like a contemporary of Yogi Bear or something. Like and again, not that it should be any different, because we are dealing with what is, I'm assuming, a children's program.
Yes. I mean, this is... The animation was from 1963, I believe.
Oh, seriously?
Actually, it's
because this show is from 82, and it looks great.
Okay, no. It was 1980. Original,
so 2 years earlier, but still,
right?
Yeah. But I mean, and I will say this: as far as the music goes, like it is what it is. It's for children, right up until this bit here.
Oh, break it down.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mark Knopfler.
Yo, I mean, that bass gets down and funky. We're full on hard disco. And that is appropriate for the time, I think. So
Right. That's how the loop
in the third theme song goes, except that's all disco. I love it.
The end of disco, that real trashy kind of sound. Yeah. Mm. I think that was also
hair metal. Disco
that was
hair metal.
Around the time, if you're watching the picture sequence, I believe that was also right around the time where a laser cannon came out of his butt and shot at somebody.
He has a butt gun. We do see it in the show.
I did not expect that.
No,
I missed it in the theme, I guess.
As did I.
But when it happened, I was like, that can't be right. They would not put an automatic machine gun in a little boy robot's asshole.
Chan. Welcome to Japan.
Chan, you realize this is the Japanese cartoon in the 80s, right?
Yeah. No,
but it also just struck me. Oh, for
children,
sorry.
For children, it seems like...
Arguable. It just occurred to me, though, what this theme song was. This is one of the songs that Captain America sang on tour when he was raising money for World War II.
With Mark Knopfler,
yes. Yeah, he had to step in at the end and just blast for a little while. So wrote here, the animation's phenomenal. For 1982 especially, 1980, this looks great.
Yeah. It's legit.
I'm into it. And we learn about the Light Ray robot. We get introduced to the titular character, not Astro Boy, the other one, right away, and it's an invisible robot.
I thought that it was supposed to be some sort of like robot made of pure energy or something, but as it went on, then it sort of seemed like, yeah, it was just straight, just an invisible robot. I don't know why they call it Light Ray. Why didn't just call it the invisible robot?
It's probably just a bad translation.
I guess.
Well, yeah. It's made of light rays that you can shine. Oh, hold on a sec. Polarized light on it, and that will turn it rainbow colors. Except not really.
Yeah, no. It just makes it visible. When we first see the Light Ray robot, I wrote down in here on my notes, looking right at it. Of course, it's an age-appropriate robot girl. Love is in the air, because I wasn't thinking. It's 1980. And the world loves some David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was completely thrown off early. I thought I saw that plot forming right out of the chute, and we were going to get some hokey Christmas love story. But no, Light Ray Robot is not a girl robot.
I similarly wrote a note at that time that echoes many of your same sentiments. Also thought that that was a female robot. And I wrote, oh boy, Astro Boy gonna want to get balls deep in that. So I feel like...
Okay, so here's the deal. My initial thoughts are that I think is a girl robot. No, it's most definitely not. Remember what you're watching.
Right.
We all started in the same place.
Right, right.
At which point, an evil man puts out a cigarette on the floor. By the way, this is at a robot show, a competition show for, like, new robots. Yeah. And an evil man wearing a trench coat, we never see his face, puts out a cigarette on the floor and walks off, and we know he's evil.
Yeah.
Right.
Look, we know smokers, he's evil.
Smokers are evil. That's cartoon lingo, especially for 1980.
I feel like in Japan is a little bit different, but I think the just throwing it on the floor and just putting it out inside of this exhibition hall is probably what actually denotes him as a bad guy.
It gives him that slightly American tinge.
Yeah, yeah, it makes him bad. Yeah. Which at which point we cut to the big announcing of the winners, unveil the robot band that no matter what music is playing, they're doing the same animation, regardless of if it's just a drum roll, doesn't matter.
I mean, I'm taking a look at the picture right now. Like we get a shot of the band and they're robots who have their instruments incorporated into their bodies. And it looks like that there is a 6-string bass that is also a bass file. So there's a bow. There is a tuba with like a sort of like a double bandolier type situation. There's a robot that is a large bass drum. Like his entire body is just the bass drum. I wouldn't call it a saxophone. I feel like it's a saxaboom. Is that a thing?
It is now.
I feel like there's a thing called a saxaboom, and it looks kind of like that. There's another one with like a small snare drum, maybe, but also something fucked up about his face. But I mean, like part
of it. It's like an unfortunate robot band. I'll say that.
Then there's one that is a double trumpet. Like, but not like two trumpets side by side. There's a trumpet, and there's another trumpet bell coming out of that trumpet. I do not know how that operates.
Oh, like an alien mouth.
Yes, yes. If a xenomorph had a brass band, that's what
the
trumpet look like. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for all we know, there's a tiny little xenomorph in there. Mm-hmm. Play it his heart out, Chan.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dr. Elephant, because all the people are named after animals, which I didn't remember that being a trope, but here we are.
Dragon Ball named after food.
Right.
Yeah, fair point, except for Bulma.
She's a bull?
No, she's named after, bloomers. After clothing.
Right.
No. And of course, Krillin. No, that's food.
Yeah. Dr. Elephant hit me like it was that's Snuffy Smith after he went and got his book learning done.
Oh, snap. Snuffy Smith. He did good by himself.
Got a deep pull there on Snuffy Smith.
I'm here for that. You give me that.
Barney Google and Snuffy Smith. Yeah.
Something County or something. I forget. Anyway.
What are you talking about?
The name of the comic that Snuffy Smith was in. I couldn't pull it, so I'm just going to move on.
Barney Google.
Can you give Barney me a
sound
Google.
Pull right here, Chan? Because they announced that they're going to announce the winner of the expo. And look, I know they got to go a little minimal for the sound of Astro Boy. They don't have a lot to work with.
No. I know what you're talking about because also made a note about it.
Yes.
So, just to set the stage,
we're in a big concert hall. We're talking like 500 seats at least,
right? Yeah.
And there's huge deal. The robot competition. There's like a dozen robots on the stage, any of which could be the winner. So there, this is delighting a crowd of at minimum 500 people, probably more, up to 1,000.
And it resonates. We're in this, you know, large exhibition hall, so obviously it's going to like bounce and echo and all that.
It's gonna be big. It's gonna be loud, right?
So here comes the MC to introduce Dr. Elephant.
And our special guest to present the awards, Dr. Elephant.
Oh! And four people go wild.
As soon as they started going, yay, I was like, oh, gotta mark this shit.
WWE announced the crowd at 84,176.
Standing room only.
Hold out.
For some reason, we could only get the camera on one side of the ring. Pointed down. Don't worry about that. Oh, my God. And so the winner, and this is where we get our drum roll, that none of the animation on the band changed at all. I delighted in that. I howled. Winner, of course, is Light Ray Robot. A robot you can't see. And so they're like, spotlight on the robot. Oh, wait, of course, you can't see him. So let's change the lights, the polarized light. Wait a minute. He's gone.
Dun, dun, dun.
He's gone. Cut to Light Ray Robot invisibly robbing a bank.
You don't know that it's Light Ray Robot. Could be anybody. Could be any invisible robot. How dare you?
It could be anyone. It could be the one-armed man.
I'm going to take the path less traveled for just a second, gentlemen, before we move on.
Indeed.
What is the purpose of inventing an invisible robot?
I asked myself that question too. What service does this robot fill?
Scientists right. were too busy thinking about what they could do
yeah.
and what they should do.
This is like when Futurama dragged out Fatbot, right? Like, why make a fat robot? Why do we have an invisible robot on Astro? But what is the purpose of his invisibility? What is
the purpose of any of us?
Oh boy. Whoa, we're getting deeply philosophical here.
Look, we're here on Earth to make and then critique cartoons about robot children.
Well, and he's dead right on that.
Then this robot needs to exist so that we have something to create content about.
Now, you guys, see, I'm going to guess you both have more experience with Astro Boy than I do. Are the main tack of this show, do we just get a different new robot every episode?
Not that I remember. It's usually like a situation, a crisis of some kind. New robots, sure, sometimes. But I remember it being a little bit more scattered. I could look through some plot synopses and see what's up. But to answer your question, I think it's like the space program. You know, what they do is they solve problems and invent things to solve problems. And then we bring those inventions like Velcro back down to Earth and we make tearaway pants with them. You know, it's that kind of a deal.
I guess. And so if you make an invisible robot, why do you make him beautiful like late 70s Bowie?
Now, that's an interesting question.
Because any technology created by man will only move forward once they have developed a carnal application for it.
Oh, God.
VCRs didn't become a thing until someone realized that you could show dirty stag pics on them. And similarly, the technology of AI and androids aren't going to get anywhere until we want to put our peckers in them.
Internet, too. The internet really was only a thing for certain mediums.
Even so.
When it first started.
Certainly driving the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Sadly, yes. Anybody who's played Detroit Become Human, you know where we're headed.
I do not know. And I'm happy for that. I'm happy to have just a teeny tiny bit of ignorance about the filth and degradation of the world.
Chan, you revel in it. Don't you choir boy me right now. Stop it. You know more about the filth and degradation of the world than I do, times 10.
I don't know if he knows that much more about it, Ray, but he certainly strives to create that much more of it.
Well, that is a fact right there.
I just want to put a little more smut into the world.
Right.
What I like is I'll find out about some terrible deviant thing, and I'll make a reference to it on the show, and Chan, like Johnny Rockets, is right there with like a 10-year backlogged history with that particular degeneracy, and he's got stories to tell.
I mean, look, I've got to be able to explain these things to my kid. When the time is right, I'm like, listen, I don't want you to learn this on the street. So,
right. Better he learns it from you.
Mm-hmm.
His degenerate father.
I'm not sure
father.
That is better.
Yeah. I mean, we'll find out, okay? When we're all at the pearly gates, we'll see who was right.
It's all a big sociology experiment. It's for future generations to decide.
Oh, man. Anyway, not only is Light Ray Robot robbing a bank, Light Ray Robot is robbing a jewelry store. And this is told our heroes that whoever stole him convinced Light Ray Robot that bad things are actually good because he is a naive child and can be convinced of anything by his handlers. That, to me, seems like a flaw in his programming to begin with.
I mean, you build an invisible robot. You really don't think it's going to get stolen. Same way, you know, you build a Titanic. You don't expect it to get sunk by icebergs. So you're not really planning. You're not putting on those extra lifeboats because who's going to do it? Nobody. That's the whole point of it.
My other question.
How would you know if it got stolen? They didn't even know it got stolen. They wielded an empty dais onto the stage.
I mean,
nobody noticed it wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah. There were some holes in their plan.
Let's accept for a moment that we have reasons to build invisible robots and have them look like late 70s Bowie.
We'll take it as read, yes.
So my follow-up question to all this is that clearly you have this invisible robot of indeterminate purpose. You have Astro Boy, who is clearly built to go out and whip some ass.
Yeah, fair.
He's loaded with guns coming out of his backside, and he flies around, and he breaks stuff, and he's bending girders, and it's all awesome. I'm not criticizing any of this. And clearly, they're very naive to the ways of the world, so why are we making them look like children, too?
See, I'm sure there's an answer in there somewhere.
Okay, there's this guy named Jeffrey Epstein. He's got this island.
Oh, no, Chan, no.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, you know what? We'll save it for the Patreon.
Right.
No, we will not save that for the Patreon.
That's probably.
I don't care if our president loves him. We're not talking about it at the Patreon.
I just figured you were waiting until Gina was back so she could go off on that. But
I'll tell you what, I was actually real disappointed that Gina wasn't here for this one because I feel like she would have some stuff to say about the end.
We'll get there when we get there. It is it goes places, ladies and gentlemen, and we will show you that. Okay. So
to follow up on the follow up, Ray, why are we making our robots look like children that look like 7-year old boys that only wear pants? Little short pants.
I mean, I do want to know why, because when all these banks start getting robbed, the TV is like, oh, we pretty sure that it's Dr. Skunk, Mr. Skunk,
Skunk.
Yeah. Jones.
They're saying that this guy's behind it, and Astro Boy's like, I'm gonna jump in to help, and he rips off his shirt. Why is he designed to be topless? Less I'm not so concerned about the childlike nature of his design. I'm concerned that they programmed him to show his nipples every time he started whipping ass.
Right.
So I'm looking into it right now because I want to find out myself. But one of the first questions Google says is, what gender is Astro Boy?
Google's kind of a dumbass, isn't it?
I mean, feel like feel like the it's in his name.
It's right there in his name.
That
people.
Answer's kind of right there. Yeah.
I mean, like, if he chooses to identify as something else, I'm all for it. But like, I feel like if you come in, you know, tell us your name's Astro Boy, I'm gonna make some assumptions there.
Right. Right. I'm thinking that that's a question that both asks and answers itself.
You know.
So really, there's no good answers here. Only that in further medium of Astro Boy, they put clothes on him and no one was happy. So shirtless Speedo Astro Boy is just...
Did they have a focus group? And was that focus group like sketchy looking 50-year-old men?
Yeah, they made an Astro Boy movie, what, in 2008?
Yeah,
They put him in full clothes, and people thought it was weird. Now, the only thing I would say about him being topless with the boots and the Speedos is they are trying to like ape Mickey Mouse, a character who wears shoes and shorts and no shirt.
Mm-hmm. To see the end of this focus group, gentlemen, please. I understand you're upset about the costume, but. Come on now, he's still got a laser gun that comes out of his butt. Come on.
Or maybe that was the compromise. Like, okay, fine. We'll put a gun in his butt. How's that?
Meet us halfway, would you? Come on.
Meet us halfway with a gun butt. Yeah, the internet doesn't have any great answers. That would be my answer, though, is because they literally set out to make a Mickey Mouse-type mascot. Ergo, here's where we are.
I mean, they realize that he's a mouse, right? And they're trying to do something that looks like
he's a robot. Like a little boy. People don't even know what gender Astro Boy is, Chan. I mean, what am I working with here?
I guess those focus groups didn't work out so well, did they?
No.
What I want to know is, what gender is he? Well, we called him Astro Boy. Yes, but are you sure that he's a boy?
Are you sure he can't be a little girl?
And we pulled down his pants to check.
Oh no. What are you, a Midwest school board? What's going on over there, Chan?
I be the one to put the gun into his butt. No, please, sir.
Which restroom would he use at the Target?
I don't want any robot boys with guns in their ass walking in on my young daughter.
I demand that all those robot boys have guns that come out of the front of their little robot pants.
That would be inappropriate.
Show me the front of the young boy's pants. Pull his pants down. I need to see a gun there or I will be very cross.
I don't know when we all became the Monopoly guy. But a pervy Monopoly guy.
Well, that is redundant, Ray.
Excuse me. Yes, you are correct.
No chance that with that mustache that he's not a full on pervo.
Let me say,
look, Ray, I just got through election season in central Indiana. I've got some things to work out.
Yeah, I was going to call out Indiana specifically, but I changed it to Midwest because I was trying to be friendly to our guest. But we all know Indiana's the center of all that. And well, I'm not talking about the Nickelodeon show.
Well, we behave like every other urban center in the Midwest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, I do know.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Emergency! Our prisoner escaped!
New Rebel Transport holds up to 42 action figures, each sold separately, some assembly required.
You'll never get me, Rebel Commander!
You can't escape, Imperial TIE Fighter pilot.
Didn't find the lasers. Good. Backpacks and gas masks are safe. That means he's hiding.
in the escape hatch.
You knew where I was. Oldest trick in the book.
New Rebel Transport. Some assembly required. Action figures each sold separately from Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back Collection.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
So, Light Ray Robot robbed 9 banks, but only got out with $8 million. That's not...
I mean, this was 1980.
It's not great. Right.
I mean, haven't worked in a bank in the 90s and late 90s to late 2000s. We did not have $1 million on hand at any time. So,
but you also didn't have a giant bank with piles of cash being stuffed into sacks with dollar signs on them.
I would not be at liberty to say, as those are trade secrets.
Trade secrets. Okay.
I don't want to indemnify the folks that may work at that bank today.
No, and I wouldn't want to
confirm anything that somebody that worked there did buy a novelty bag with a big old dollar sign on it and just like left it in a vault somewhere. Just like, I don't know, stuffed with like, you know, like paper trash or something like that. But just
I did that one year at Halloween. I actually I had a big dollar sign bag and I just sat it on the front of my counter just to see what people would do.
did an invisible robot try to steal it?
No. Must have just not been the day.
I mean, I think we know what happened in 1982 to Light Ray Robot. So,
well, we'll get there.
I did have a half dozen people tell me that wasn't safe.
Woof. Woof.
But that was kind of what we were going for.
Okay. Yeah. I guess that's.
Those same people would later go home to Google what gender is Astro Boy.
Probably.
Yep.
I like this. I like this moment because they realize it's Skunk. Astro Boy takes off his shirt and flies out the window. Daddy Walrus is his caretaker, you know, near as I can tell. And once Astro Boy is gone, Daddy Walrus gets a phone call. It's from Skunk, who is literally calling to taunt him, saying, "I have kidnapped Light Ray Robot and I am robbing banks with him." Ha ha, nerd. And I'm going to give it up to Daddy Walrus, who rips out the baller turning on its head move and says, "I don't believe you. You need to prove that to me." He goes sea lioning him like he's on the internet in 2016. This is wild.
Daddy Walrus is, throughout this episode, the cagiest member of the cast when it comes to dealing with the forces of evil.
He's so smart. Yeah.
And so I give him props there. But I also made a note on the page because before he gets the call from Skunk, he just has a solid 2 minutes of being rude to Astro Boy, who is just the nicest robot kid you can imagine.
I don't understand what the dynamic is here.
Right. I wrote down on my page, Daddy Walrus is a psychotic asshole. And every time that he behaved that way throughout the rest of the episode, I just put a little star next to it again. And I wound up with 6 stars is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if he is just an inventor and, you know, he's created this robot, like even if the robot had zero personality, if it was like a fucking toaster, you wouldn't come in and be like, "You piece of shit. I put you on 4 and you made dark brown edges around my toast. You fucking worthless." But he did. It's not even that. It's a robot made to look like a child. So you would think he would have some paternal instinct towards it, but he even in like the 60s, you wouldn't expect like a dad to go that hard on a child that has done nothing. Like if you were Dennis the Menace, like sure, yeah, like but like this is the sweetest fucking kid.
So I have some follow up here. I just looked up a little wiki. His name in Japan, Dr. Walrus, is Hideo Yaji, otherwise known as Shunsakuban or Mr. Mustachio. Okay. Nice. All right. Makes sense. He's called Daddy Walrus in the English version. But this breakdown of his character from the 1980 series, he is Astro's teacher, apparently live-in teacher. Mm-hmm. He's shown to be a private eye, among other things. He has a strong supporter of robots' rights and does not hesitate to make that clear. But here's the part that threw me. He can be loud, especially when short-tempered. Otherwise, he is portrayed as kind and friendly.
Not in this episode.
Yeah, that is untrue based on episode 12. The
He's
Lightning
Santa
robot.
Claus talking to Rudolph in the Rankin Bass one. What an a-hole he is in that.
Right.
God bless America. Not friendly or kind. Yeah, he's kind of terrible, but he's also the smartest person on screen. So I don't know.
I mean, to be fair, when he's, you know, he dupes Skunk into showing up using very professional wrestling psychology.
I loved it.
Like Skunk is like his henchmen are like, boss, this is a trap. You realize that? It's like, I know, but like, he's not going to catch me. It'll be fine. So like, at least he acknowledges, he knows that it is a trap, still goes in without actually protecting himself, which is kind of dumb.
What are you talking about? He has Light Ray Robot with him.
He's
what
got invisible robot. He told Daddy Rawlers to show up alone, and he just trusted that he would do it. Forgetting the fact that, you know, the very next thing we see is about 2,000 police officers all hiding behind trees.
There are more police officers hiding behind trees than people in the auditorium in the first scene, and they make about as much noise.
119,658, brother.
I'm just gonna let that sit right there. Okay. Light Ray Robot gets out of the car. The hover car, ladies and gentlemen, hover car, awesome. And he's wearing a bag with a face painted on it, but he has it on upside down. Terrifying and hilarious all in one.
Yeah.
And Daddy Walrus is like, all right, cops are here. He's out of the car. We've made eye contact with the robot. This plan is going about as well as it could go. And then Astrobot just rolls in and is like, I got to stop you. And he charges in on him. And that does not end well for anybody.
No.
Light Ray Robot hauls off on all the police officers as if he was an acorn slightly falling nearby that freaks them out and causes them to empty two magazines into their own squad car. If you know, you know. And Astro Boy also takes a beating. At which point Daddy Walrus screams at Astro Boy, just tears him a new one. And I feel a little bad for that guy.
I feel big check mark on that one. Big check mark.
Yep.
Now, Astro Boy, had he not showed up, I don't think they would have caught Light Ray Robot.
Why did you have to interfere? I had him where I wanted him, but you messed it up.
Dang.
To be fair, that does sound like me talking to Robert Clark Chan at any production meeting.
You have production meetings.
I know. Hilarious. Oh my God. All right. Dorks. I'm a terrible person. Just put a check mark next to me, Chan. Okay. He screams it. I don't think this plan would have worked anyway. It was not a bad plan, but they underestimated the fighting ability of Light Ray Robot.
Mm-hmm.
They posited right at the start. How are you going to stop him if you can't see him? And the cops had no answer for that. It turns out the cops have very high level tanks and gadgets in their armory. Didn't think to bring anything that would cause him to be visible here. Bad job, officers. They may have gone overboard later. Okay.
Right. You'd think maybe one of those shells that works like a bag of flour. You'd think that would, you know, just pop one of them.
Yeah.
We learn later that spray paint's fine.
Right.
I mean, anyway, it's nighttime now. Astro Boy is in bed, not feeling great about his life. You know, he's having a bad day. We've all been there. He's sleeping. He gets woken up by a knock at the window, and it's Light Ray Robot wearing a trench coat and nothing else.
I'm going to call a timeout real quick. Why is Astro Boy trying to sleep?
Okay. So robots need sleep too. Have you ever left your computer on for like 8 weeks straight?
I mean, yeah, it's called all the time.
He took his clothes off, left his boots on, obviously.
Well, his boots are part of his legs.
His shorts are his Speedos are part of his body too.
Oh, right. So it's just like spray paint over.
Okay. Right. They only gave him partial clothes in. Right. It gets more confusing that way. Right.
It feels to me like he's just like just enjoying some like silk sheets, something like that. Just kind of like indulging himself, you know.
And if he does have to sleep, why does he not have adorable footy pajamas or something like a normal 7-year-old kid would have?
Well, a normal 7-year-old kid here. Back in 1982 Japan, it might have been a little bit more Spartan than that.
Oh.
I'm guessing. I mean, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
But I wish I was. But also, I think part of Astro Boy's conceit is, and I'll say this, in reality, I think he's trying to become, like, not be, he's trying to, like, be as human as he can be. He's trying to live a human life, ergo he would sleep at night, whether robots need to sleep or not.
Okay. Does he share a room with Fatbot?
I wish he did.
That would be
well, he shares a room incredible. With Light Ray Robot right now.
Right.
Which, if he's trying to be more human, he's probably just like lying in bed all night long, eyes wide open, thinking about the stupid shit he did earlier because his father told him he was worthless.
And when you say stupid shit he did earlier, you mean like 9 years old.
Yeah. I mean, failing to stop an invisible robot who has equivalent strength and speed to you.
But you couldn't see him, Chan.
Yeah. He failed, though. So he deserved the reprimand he got from his father, who loves him dearly.
The public reprimand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very public.
Well, those cops were knocked out. They didn't hear nothing.
I mean, there's 119,000 of them, right? There's got to be a few that are coming, too.
And Light Ray Robot shows up with questions.
There's so many of them because they'll say, yay.
Yeah, they made the noise of three people. So you know there's at least 5 billion of them there.
Yeah.
Light Ray Robot comes with questions. Chan, do you have a sound pull? There's a certain segment in here that felt real weird.
I was trying to see. I was looking at my notes to see if I caught any like really weird stuff.
It just when it happened in the show, I was like, I'm sorry, what?
I did note this.
What? Didn't you know? We're robots. We help humans.
It was right before that.
Didn't Skunk tell you anything?
Keep going before that.
I want to ask you, when I grabbed your legs, they were hard, not like other people.
My legs, yeah.
That wasn't my leg, pal.
Why is Light Ray Robot grabbing his legs in his bedroom at night?
No. He was saying that when they were fighting earlier.
Okay. I thought he grabbed his legs in that moment. You know, I couldn't tell because he's goddamn invisible.
Right. Right.
Yeah, your legs are hard. Not like people legs. I'm a robot. Oh, you're a robot too. What the fuck? And he says, if you stay here with me, Light Ray Robot, I will teach you right from wrong because you were programmed you're a blank slate with bad security.
You're an amoral monster.
And you don't know what you're supposed to be. But this kid, the Light Ray Robot has a moral compass. It feels that what it's doing in hurting people is wrong, but it just doesn't have any clear direction. And the only direction that Light Ray Robot is getting is Skunk, who is a noted baddin.
Mm-hmm.
So they go out. Okay, this part also confused me because this is, what time of day is this? Like 1 a.m?
You figure.
The middle of the night. So they go out to teach right from wrong, and it's just a daytime with children walking around.
Maybe it's not that late. I mean, we are dealing with the winter time, so it gets dark early.
And they're going to like a shopping area, you know.
So maybe it's only more like 8 or 9.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Seemed pretty bright for 8 or 9. And what
kid
goes
to bed
at 5?
It's a lot of lights.
Yeah, the lighting doesn't bother me so much, but the fact that there is a kid who is shopping with his mom, immediately followed by a guy who's so drunk that he's trying to rape a woman in an alleyway.
Yes. What do you call it? A trigger warning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
a little molesty in this episode.
I don't know if it goes that far. I think accosting is a better verb than molesting.
Well, he's a drunk guy in an alley with his basically leaning into a woman who clearly doesn't want to be there.
No, he is physically touching her.
Okay.
We're not going in. I don't mean to infer that we're going in a positive direction with this.
Mike, why do you defend this behavior so vociferously?
Wow. I'm just saying. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that perhaps Astro Boy happened on just in the nick of time.
Yes.
You're not defending it, but you understand it.
We'll get you, Mike. We'll get you.
I'm waiting for Astro Boy to just be like, wait, I wonder what happens next.
That would be Light Ray Robot.
Right.
Who unfortunately has been told what happens next. He's like, hold on a sec, Astro Boy. It's about to get good. No, Light Ray Robot. You're wrong. It's not good at all.
Is that a gun coming out of your butt?
Oh, no, Astro Boy. So before that, though, a kid loses his hat in traffic and they go down and get it. What's great is every time they help somebody, they terrify them.
Yeah.
Because he's a headless. Because at this point, Light Ray Robot's wearing a molester trench coat.
Yep.
And is invisible everywhere else. Now, this is an homage to the Invisible Man, and I like it.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
And accuracy in world is correct as well. He doesn't know any better, and he is terrifying.
Right, right.
And so I like everything that's happening here, except for the whole drunk guy in an alley making me uncomfortable.
It was a stranger beat than you'd expect. Considering where the show had been to this point.
Right, because we're used to our kids' shows having the softest edges possible.
Also, considering where it goes, I feel like...
Cool boy.
It is more of a piece. You're like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense then. I don't know if this was a show that was sort of like meant to be more all ages in Japan, or if... You know, just things are just like a little different there. And like,
I think things are a little different there because this is definitely a show aimed for kids. And it's definitely got themes in it that we as Americans in the year 2024 would not be comfortable showing our kids.
Yeah. But also like Bluey is a show that is for kids, but can be watched by the entire family because a lot of the dialogue. And it's entirely possible that there's some really meaningful and deep dialogue here that just gets dumbed down to, we're robots.
You know. I don't think that's the case.
It's probably not. You know what? Yeah. But I'm going to defend it just like Mike Irizarry defends abusing women. That is what we have. That's the takeaway you should have from this episode.
That is not what happened at all. You may replay the tape.
Rewind it. And don't.
We got him. We got him, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna get every other G.I. Joe show canceled as our Christmas present to ourselves.
I probably should mention this was a trap. Indeed, we do hate all G.I. Joe shows, and you will be destroyed.
If anybody listened to this one, then I would be concerned.
You know what? Fair point.
Mm-hmm.
Fair point.
Always got to find that technicality, Mike.
We've already stolen all the fans from you that we possibly can. There's no one left to hurt me.
It's fair. Unfortunately, the only guys we have left are the drunk guys in the alley.
Right.
And now we've alienated them too. Chan, this backfired on us.
Right. If you look on the cast list, the drunk in the alley, his name is Ray.
I mean, the robot's name is Ray.
It's true. I identify with this robot.
I figure.
Oftentimes naked with a trench coat. Yes.
Yeah.
In an alley, not preventing things from happening.
Just watching.
Oh, I'm disgusting. Okay.
Yep.
So Astro Boy comes up with a good idea here. Hey, you're scaring everybody because they could see floating clothing. Give your coat away. and then come to our Christmas party. Side note, addendum, where's your hideout? Step too far, Astro Boy. You're not going to win his trust like that. In fact, Light Ray Robot is gone. He's gone.
Gonzo.
Which means it's time for a party. Cut to our Christmas party. That is...
Hold on. Cut to Astro Boy telling Daddy Walrus about what he did to try and help the situation. And Daddy Walrus responds predictably.
I made friends with him and invited him over for our Christmas party today. I hope he comes.
You fool! Why didn't you tell me that sooner?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's not great.
He's a kindly old man.
Is that the words we're using for?
Downright fatherly, according to Wikipedia.
He's very kind. He's really portrayed in a good-spirited way.
Yeah, like he's fine with everybody else. He seems cool with Dr. Elephant. But yeah, he's really got it out for Astro Boy. I feel bad for Astro Boy, especially by the end of the episode, but progressively worse as the episode goes on. This is supposed to be a Christmas episode, right?
This is like a Christmas episode.
It's supposed to be some uplifting stuff that happens. And Astro Boy, for the first 17, 18 minutes of this show at this point, has just been crapped on.
Yep.
It's been bad. And I think we haven't talked about it enough. This is a Christmas episode. The veneer of Christmas is all over this episode. And in fact, this is a Christmas party. The kids are buying Christmas presents. Like Christmas
is shopping,
there's
a big old sign that says Merry Christmas, but it's spelled M-A-R-Y. Which
don't worry about that. Yeah, I did notice that. Don't worry about that, Chan. They're doing their best, okay? And so it's like Die Hard. There's the veneer of Christmas all around it, even if the story itself has nothing to do with Christmas. It's fair. This is our Die Hard. And this party sucks. I'm just going to say it. There's like five people there. They're all sitting around like one chair. It looks sad. It feels sad. Why would you invite your new friend Light Ray Robot to this?
That's all he knows. That's what Astro Boy thinks is a wonderful holiday party.
Well, when were you get beaten by your father? Sorry, teacher?
The fact that he didn't get beaten is what makes it so wonderful.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
The abuse was limited to verbal.
Yep.
At least while people were watching.
Right? Yep.
Light Ray Robot shows up, and immediately he's like, oh, why don't you wear this hat? So that way people can identify you, know where you're standing. Smart. Light Ray Robot shows up, and then the first thing out of his mouth is, I got to go to work. Why the hell are you here, a-hole?
Right.
Don't come to my party, and first thing you talk about is trying to leave. Chan.
Look.
Did you do that, Chan? Come on now.
And every day that I'm invited to your house.
Ray does not have a lot of friends, Chan. Come on.
Thank you.
Don't I know it.
Ray has like one friend, okay? And it's you. And I'm sorry, but that means that you have some obligations.
That is my job to keep him away from everybody else.
Right. The state of California gives you a stipend for that, Chan.
It's not tax deductible, and I'm really burnt about that.
Nothing's tax deductible. You live in California.
Just
appreciate that I'm dealing with an inch and a half of snow on the ground and you're not. That's your tax deductible right there.
Not shoveling snow is something I would pay a lot of money out of my paycheck to not deal with. Right? Not going to lie. Okay. So at this point, what's his name? Walrus shows up as Santa Claus at the front door. He sees Light Ray Robot in the hat and immediately gives him a necklace pendant and then starts spray painting his legs because he always has a plan and those plans are not too bad.
Except that Astro Boy invited him over out of the goodness of his heart.
Perfect.
And fucking Walrus Face is like, I know how I'm going to screw this kid over.
This kid is a danger. This kid is stealing millions of dollars and needs to be returned to his owners.
From the bank? The bank's insured.
And all I'm saying here is that from the point where this kid gets his legs spray painted, this robot kid, to the end of the show, we might as well just call this episode Bad Touch Theater.
It really goes deeply Shakespearean from this point forward.
Right. There's just a lot of hands on prepubescent robot thighs, and I was not comfortable.
No. Yep. And, yep.
People at home, if you did not watch this episode of Astro Boy, from this moment forward, you are not ready for where we're going. Because I wasn't.
Nope. No.
Here we go. He runs out of there. Light Ray Robot runs out of there because, of course, he does. He's freaked out correctly. He goes back to his base. We find out
he's got pendant. Some weird mustache guy touching his legs up with paint.
Yeah. Let me get on your legs and spray paint them red. This is what Santa's into.
Here, boy. Step over here into the gas.
So now let's head over to a secret warehouse where some creepy Frankenstein looking dude's also going to be grabbing on your hips real hard.
So, okay. Light Ray Robot is now fully visible from the waist down. Spray painted red. Also, he's wearing a pendant that has a tracker in it. So that way, Daddy Walrus could track to where the base is of Skunk. These are good plans. Just officially, good plans. Now, it does not take into consideration the naivete and gentleness of Light Ray Robot. In fact, it does not care about that whatsoever. He is a pawn to get at Skunk and the other enemies. Both ways, because he gets back to the base and Skunk and the crew are furious. He's visible now. They can't wash off the paint. I don't know what this paint is. They cannot get it off.
So and they Lord knows they try.
They try. They scrub his leg and pelvic region a lot.
Just thank God that paint didn't get on his butt gun.
Thank you. We don't even know if Light Ray Robot has a butt gun.
I'm sure he does. It's just been invisible.
Any robot has a butt gun.
So they say to their gentle robot boy, we have a time bomb, and we want you to take this time bomb to Daddy Walrus. It will blow up at midnight. We want you to deliver it to him at midnight so we can blow him and ostensibly you up as well. The response of Light Ray Robot is interesting because when given this bleeping, blinking time bomb, he says, I don't want to give this away. It's shiny, and I like it, and it's mine now.
Yep.
It makes funny noises.
Finally taking initiative, speaking out for himself.
And it's all to keep a time bomb.
Yeah, it's at the worst time for the worst in the worst way, unfortunately. Been there, too.
This poor kid, he's got it even worse than Astro Boy.
Yeah, somehow. Man. So we get a really weird nebulous thing and he takes off because Astro Boy shows up at the base and this is where he starts going ham on these thugs. And this is where we get the butt gun.
The butt gun.
A gun comes out of his butt and shoots real bullets. Yeah, there's death in here too, ladies and gentlemen. Murders the mobsters. I mean, they're dead, right? I mean, I didn't make that up.
You would think, unless they're specially designed anal pellets. But I think they saved that for Astro Hamster.
Yeah, I think I dissected those at camp one year. The anal pellets.
Right.
Specially made.
I'm just going to send you lovely fellows a clip that I downloaded from
all I know is I put anal pellets on a tee for Ray and he came back with I think we had those at camp. Come on
it's been a long week.
I'm starting to see why Gina skipped this one. That's all I'm saying.
I just want to say 2 days ago we recorded a bank episode that went about 2 hours long and broke every single one of us. And someday you all will hear it.
So, provided Chan ever edits it.
Well, yeah, well don't. That's never going to happen.
So 2028 summer?
If we're lucky.
Just in time for the Olympics?
The audience is lucky. Okay, so the bad guy skunk goes down into the sewers, and some really badass stuff happens here. Because Astro Boy slams down into the sewers after him, and then Skunk closes this like weird metal gate, like just straight up looks heavy. It closes, and then he just rips it open with his bare hands, and just tears his way through it. And then a giant metal bar, Skunk swings it, hits Astro Boy in the head, and then it bends around his head in a cartoony way. And I'm like, this dude is fierce.
Right, it says that Skunk is not too weak on his own. If he's swinging it so hard that the girder bends on Astro Boy's head, but
Ben's head shaped, yeah.
But Astro Boy is hardcore. He will not have any of this nonsense.
Yeah, and this is where he takes Skunk in, and they find out the truth of what's happening. They now know that Light Ray Robot has a time bomb that will go off at midnight. That is only 2 hours away from now. It is 10 p.m. right now. He will not be delivering it to Daddy Walrus because he wants to keep it for himself. So he went up to the Light Ray Robot, went up to the mountains, they think, where the National Hospital is. Who puts their National Hospital in the mountains?
Well, you know, government-run healthcare.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you go single-payer. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
Trump.
Yeah, I went there in Hitman, 2016, to murder a couple people. But that it's not neither here nor there. It's a great it's a great hospital. We don't want it to blow up. And now we only have 30 minutes, and we don't know where Light Ray Robot is. And now we only have 10 minutes.
Yeah, Dr. Elephant is Johnny on the spot with the time updates.
He wants us to know second by second, and not much happens interstitially between these moments.
Astro Boy, there's 13 minutes and 19 seconds left.
Shot of Astro Boy flying through the woods. Light Ray Robot, where are you?
Astro Boy, there's 8 minutes and 42 seconds left.
Light Ray Robot, fly, where are you? I can't find him.
Astro Boy, there's 3 minutes and 38 seconds left.
That is essentially what happens this stage in the program. And at this point, they find footprints. We can find him, but there's not a lot of time left. So the cops and Daddy Walrus pull out something called the electrical decomposer. And I just wrote, this is not going to end well.
No.
I thought it was going to end well. That fucking Astro Boy was going to grab the bomb, fling it away, and they'd hug and spend Christmas together because it's a Christmas episode.
Exactly. Sure.
I've seen anime before, Chan. I knew at this moment it's not going to be good. So
if we're watching Akira, I'm like, yeah, this is not going to end well.
Right.
It's
Astro Boy.
Yeah. The fucking 4-year-olds watching this.
This is more innocent than Pokemon.
I would argue no, it is not.
No, it is not.
Because with 20 seconds to go, they make the judgment call to fire the electrical decomposer at the robot child.
No. They wait until exactly midnight.
1 second to go, yes.
Right, but Astro Boy is there and can solve the problem.
He's out of time, though.
But again, he's right there, so if they give him another 3 seconds...
But he doesn't have 3 seconds.
Yeah, he did.
He doesn't have it.
Sure he did.
And at this point, in all caps, I just wrote, holy shit.
Right.
They murder the child robot.
The beautiful child Bowie robot.
I will read you word for word in my notes. Holy shit. Did they just annihilate that robot?
Yeah. Shocking.
What?
And they don't just like, they find pieces of him scattered in the snow.
No. They do a thing where you can see the wave motion gun firing, beams hitting Light Ray. Light Ray, like, turning with big eyes, like, what are you doing?
Oh my God.
And then just boom, like a fucking, like, Fat Man and Little Boy just destroying everything.
Wow. And the music. Play the music, because as if the point wasn't made that this is the darkest Christmas shit you will ever see outside of Gremlins.
Merry Christmas, everybody!
Are you effing kidding me right now?
We got you a present, Astro Boy. It's death.
You want to keep his femur?
It's a gift that comes for us all.
Oh my God.
My notes for the record, just so we get the clean sweep, is hardcore. That's all I wrote right there.
I mean, it's metal as hell.
Really is. That was just hardcore. Wow.
Like this is the living embodiment of Gina's, like, go into your room, put on your finest suit.
God.
Wow.
I came into this delightful Christmas episode of Astro Boy not expecting child murder.
Right.
And here we are.
Right. Robot child murder, but child murder all the same.
A naive, sweet spirit taken from us far too soon.
By the robotic decomposer, or the electrical decomposer.
The electrical decomposer. Chan, you don't bring out an electrical decomposer in an anime unless you plan on using that shit. You know what I'm saying?
I just thought there had to be two more seconds. And no, there was not.
And so they literally cut to pieces of the child in the snow. Astro Boy is bawling his eyes out with tears. There is smoke everywhere. This violin music is playing. The camera pulls away, and that's it. We don't even get a happy button or anything. They leave us there.
Yep. Alone. Apparently. And crying in the snow.
Oh my God.
Poor Astro Boy standing there amongst the hot robot shards of his new best friend.
In the Canadian version, they stop the bomb and call it a Christmas miracle.
Oh,
they, like, spliced in footage, so it was a happy ending.
Oh my God, I would have appreciated that.
Wow. Yeah.
Not as real, though, is it?
No.
This made me feel something, and I didn't like it.
No. I didn't expect to walk out of an Astro Boy viewing feeling much of anything, to be honest. I wasn't expecting to appreciate it at all. I wasn't expecting to think a whole lot of it. And Astro Boy has positively wrecked this entire week.
It's ruined. Chan ruined Christmas with Astro Boy.
Like, I need to go watch Muppet Christmas Carol or something just to start to feel good about life again.
You should be doing that anyway, to be fair.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, like, immediately. Like, it's past midnight where I am. I have to get up for work in the morning. And I think I'm going to watch a Muppet Christmas Carol anyway. Right now.
You gotta, yeah.
Chan, do me a favor, like, cue up the end credits music for me real quick, but I'll be right there in a moment, okay? Because I want to set this stage, because it's not cognitive dissonance, it's just plain dissonance, that we have this ending where there's, like, a will they, won't they murder the robot child horrifically. Astro Boy is tearing up. There's violin music playing. The camera pulls back. The show ends, and we're immediately blasted with these end credits musics.
Oh yeah, no, I got you. Here we go, leading up into it.
everybody.
Come back tomorrow, kids. We're going to kill another one of your treasured friends.
What is happening? What? You can't cold go from one to the other and be like, hey, kids, happy jaunty tomb. Thanks for coming. See you next time.
You can and they will.
Oh, my God. It was almost as upsetting as the act itself was how callous they are about it. 3 seconds later.
I guess. I mean, look, man, this was originally produced in, what, 1980?
Yep.
Sure.
I mean, the people that put this cartoon together probably lived through the bomb.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? I mean, they're already a little messed up. Even if they didn't get physically injured, they're pretty messed up, right?
No, I mean...
I feel like we got off early. We got off easy on that one.
Everything they sent over to us, all the media, was just basically them like setting something down in front of us, putting their hands on the putting their elbows on the table, just staring at us.
Yeah.
The Americans. Like,
hey, you know what Godzilla's about.
Right. This is all on you. And meanwhile, us as kids, we're all like, hey, this fits with the Cure records that we just picked up. All right, that's pretty cool. Let's hold on to this for a while.
Hey, you like that opening scene of Akira? Guess what that is?
It's a gun coming out of his butt.
Oh my God. Yeah, and I'll still say it. This is one of the best things we've watched. Astro Boy. Well-paced, beautiful animation, accessible story. Like, I ask for no more than this.
Right.
This is just refreshing. It's refreshing compared to what we have watched recently and what I know I'm sure we will watch soon enough. A delightful palate cleanser, despite how upsetting and terrifying the whole thing was.
Right. Like, I kind of want to watch the next episode.
I do too.
I need to know how Astro Boy rebounds from this. I need to know if he's in therapy. I need to know if he started smoking.
Oh no, there's no doubt he started smoking. That's question is how hard does he take it?
Right. Maybe just off camera, but still I'm worried about the little guy. That's just a rough Christmas episode.
Chan, myself, and Mike will be debuting a new podcast in 2025. What's on Astro Boy's mind?
We're
gonna watch every episode of Astro Boy. It's the Astro Boy podcast,
starting from the '63 original and just going through.
I thought we were gonna call it "Knowing is the Half Painted Invisible Robot Boy."
We're workshopping.
Let us. It's too long. Too many characters.
Okay.
I like where your mind's at, though.
Mostly, I don't want this mess getting incorporated into my show's title.
Who could blame you for that?
Right? It's just such a downer.
If I want
this much of a downer, I'll watch my subscription count.
Oh, something.
Don't worry. The good news, Mike, is that in the next 2 years, we're all going to be stuck at home due to avian flu. So. All our numbers going to skyrocket again.
I just thought I'd be stuck at home because AI was going to put me out of work.
Well, that can't be.
So that doesn't change. That doesn't change my plans.
Either way, you're prepared.
Right. I got this easy chair that I'm sitting in right now, just good and broken in.
Hey, Mike, where can the listeners find you if they're looking for you? Because this is done. We're over.
No, there's no more to say.
It's all. That's all of it.
I feel like we need to form a therapy group.
Survivors of Astro Boy Christmas episode.
Right?
I mean, I'll see if I can make time for that in my week. I have this Survivors group for Mr. Bogus that takes a lot of time. a lot of time.
They'll hear it eventually, Chan.
Anyways, you can find What's on Joe Mind in all the normal social media locations. We do have a Facebook page, WOJM colon What's on Joe Mind podcast is the title there. You can find us on the Twitters at WOJM podcast. I can't say I post there a whole lot. I've just pretty much put up when there's a new episode. I am on the Blue Sky at What's on Joe Mind. At on Threads and Instagram at What's on Joe Mind. We got a TikTok account, but Lord knows nobody ever paid any attention to that. That is also at What's on Joe Mind. And of course, our main home these days is on YouTube. But if you like audio podcasts, you can also find the audio wherever you get your podcasts from, Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Our home is at Podbean. Just any number of places. We're all over the place. We've been around for 14 years. All we're good at is getting the word out.
You got your bases covered.
Right? Don't start at episode one. You'll never get caught up. But just Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, and you got a fresh episode talking all about whatever news is going on in the world of G.I. Joe. Or if there's not a whole lot of news, we'll figure out some topic from days gone by to talk about.
Man, that is some good podcasting right there.
Right. It's me. It's my brother, Rob, who is an inexhaustible resource of comic book knowledge. We are kind of bouncing around the third chair right now. Our former co-host, Mark Weber, has had to take some time away. So unfortunately, he won't be with us for a little while. Hopefully that's just a temporary thing. I expect it to be a temporary thing. But he's got to like be an adult and shit. So that's no fun, right?
Boo that man. Adulting.
I frown on the adulting.
Oh,
that's the long and short on What's on Joe Mind. I expect to see you all there next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Just make sure you enter a comment on the video below. Hey, Mike, I'm here. Where's my $5?
I like that. Okay.
Nice.
It doesn't mean I'm going to give you $5, but that's how I'll know.
I was holding it for a second.
I could just want to know where it is.
Right.
It's this location that is important to us.
Light Ray had it in his pocket. It just got
oh, no.
It was just incinerated.
Oh, come on, Astro Boy. You effed up again.
Three seconds too slow, you hump.
Yeah. You made me do this, Astro Boy.
This is all
you fool.
All your fault, Astro Boy. I can't believe that we got however many episodes out of you afterwards. Because this is episode 12. I can only imagine the nightmarish horrors they put him through for the rest of the run.
Can't possibly get better.
I mean, probably, but only as a precursor of making it much, much worse.
Well, let me see what we got here really quick.
Like most of the folks who tune into Knowing Is Half the Podcast and expect to hear TV's Gina Ippolito and suddenly is replaced by me. Like it's that kind of crater.
It's the trauma.
It's a tough one.
So the 1960s Astro Boy, 193 episodes.
Solid.
Over four seasons. The 1980s series, 52 episodes.
Still okay.
2003 series, 50 episodes. So they went for it in 2003.
Okay. So at the very least, this arm of the continuity has 40 more episodes to both provide joy and inexplicably extrude sadness from Astro Boy.
Yeah, and take it away in equal amounts.
Oh, no, there's far more sadness.
Just to snatch it away.
And also, you know, you go to our Patreon, patreon.com/knowingisatthepodcast. Did you know you can join as a free member?
What?
Yeah. Patreon gives you an option to join for free. See what's up. See if there's stuff there you like. And just hang out for a little bit. Just saying. Think about maybe something you want. I've been putting links. I've actually been keeping up with it, putting links up of all the shows we're about to watch. Then we're trying to give you something over there. We appreciate the support. It really does help us do what we're doing. And we just appreciate you if you're still there. So I just want to say thank you again for that. I have been on Discord a bit more lately, talking a lot of gaming, talking a lot of Final Girl. Great game. Everyone should play it. Chan.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
It's pretty great. I think it'd be right up your alley. They just unfortunately sent James Gavsey the entire season one box set and not you, who would actually appreciate it. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
It sounds about right.
Otherwise, that is our show. You know the places, the things, the ways to find us. Tag us on Threads. And I'm just so sad right now. Good night, everybody. I got to find a suit to try on.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." Or, "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it. And we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.